Welcome to the Queer Conversation podcast brought to you by Lotl Media, a show where we discuss all things queer. I am your host, Silke Bader, a publisher and producer in the LGBTQI space in Australia for the past 30 years. Well, welcome to Queer Conversation. In the studio with me today is Kim Wilson. Kim is the writer of a new dramedy called While the Men Are Away, which will stream on SBS On Demand from Wednesday, 27th of September. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Silke. It's a pleasure.
So you wouldn't be sitting here if While the Men Are Away wouldn't have a lesbian twist.
I think it's more than a twist.
It's more than a twist. You're absolutely right. First of all, the topic of While the Men Are Away throughout the Second World War is actually quite a serious topic. So tell us about the show and what brought you to write that concept.
Yeah, so the show itself is set in the Second World War, and Australia's actually done a lot of World War II film and TV. Virtually all of them are focusing on the men, the diggers, the soldiers that were actually serving, and that's fair enough. That was a massive sacrifice that was made. But not so much has been done. It's just such an interesting decade, the 40s. I mean, basically immense social change was happening faster than society could keep up. And also the gatekeepers of society, the patriarchy essentially, their focus was totally overseas on this war. So there was this a real fizz in the air that was this immense change. And when we read wartime diaries and things, so many women said, oh, you know, it was a terrible, hard time, but it was also the best time of their lives in lots of ways. So that kind of interests me, this idea of that, you know, in a time of such change like that, that people who don't normally get a shot and aren't normally holding any power, very limited power, suddenly are thrust into doing it. And what do you do with that heady kind of opportunity? Do you just recreate the way men were doing it, or do you try and find a different way? And it just means too that people who basically the spotlight was off them, and so there was this real freedom in there as well, and a joyfulness that really connected to me as a queer person who, you know, finding your tribe and finding your like-minded people. But the idea for the show itself was originally Alex Burke, who's one of the producers at Arcadia, and Alex and Monica Zanetti, who's a queer film director and writer.
We know Monica.
Yes, I'm sure. So her and Monica developed an idea about the Women's Land Army and took it to SBS. SBS really liked the idea, but they felt it would benefit from having someone with an old TV hack, such as myself, basically. So I came on board and we got together a writer's room of all queer writers, and all of the characters that are in the show were represented in that writing room. So we worked with two Indigenous writers, a Jewish writer, Monica has an Italian background, and all of them were queer. So that's where it sort of started from. And it's the Women's Land Army is the device that we kind of hang it on, but it's not, as we said all along, it's not a documentary. It's set during World War II, and we're inspired, and the events of World War II are present in the show, but it's very much using this heady time to create a really interesting dynamic for characters, and seeing how creating a little perfect bubble for them that they develop over the series of the eight episodes, and we see them go from the little twisted box they've been in all of up until now, the shapes that they make outside of that box, and you know, hopefully that it sort of flows on to make you think about how much we're missing out on in the world by having people not be their full, joyful, present selves, and how special that is, and how resilient those people are that aren't the mainstream. That how resilient those people are and how they want to be whole and have whole expressions of themselves.
Yeah. Mm. And there would have to be some research that you had to do with interviewing people who were living at that time. for you to come up with some storylines. You can't just like
Sure. We did a lot. Believe it or not, I mean, it's quite a it's quite absurdist, the show, at times, and we obviously are not, as we kept saying, we're not making a documentary, but we did do a lot of research. That we had a couple of researchers, and we did a lot of, but the research was quite specific for things that we wanted to. So like the Women's Land Army, for example, who reported to the Department of Manpower, like, you know, so there was still a presence of the men there. But we did a lot of research. But I found that rather than being hamstrung by it having to be absolutely accurate, which can be quite paralysing as a writer, I kept finding I was constantly Googling things to check something, and then I just thought, okay, I'm just going to write it and then go back and we'll work out the style and the tone and stuff, and try not to be too hamstrung by that. So, as I said, events of the war do appear in the show, like the fall of Singapore, the bombing of Darwin, submarines entering Sydney Harbour, that sense of, oh, we're under siege. And also, of course, these characters had no idea that who would win the war, when the war would end, like, you know, so, which we do have, as that we have that knowledge as writers. So it was really important to, so we used the events that stayed with us as writers, and then, but let go of the ones that were kind of hampering our creativity and our storytelling. Mm. So we tried to find a balance between the two, really.
So the Women's Land Army, is that, did that exist?
Yeah, so the Women's Land Army, basically so many farmers had gone off to fight in the war, and the farm hands as well, the male ones. So basically they needed, there was all this harvest that needed to be, crops needed to be picked and fruit picked and, you know, everything, and cows milked and all of those things to feed the country, basically. So they were worried about that, so they called for women to enlist. And all in all, I think at its peak there was about 3,800 Women's Land Armies, and they were billeted out to farms around the country, and yeah, they had the job of, they had a bit of training in this, a lot of them were city women, and they had a bit of training before they left, and then were just literally just thrown in into a really different kind of lifestyle that many of them had had, and they were paid a wage, but it was way, way less than the men got. And they were an army that had a uniform, which we've recreated for the show. But also, they had they started off with some sort of army type hierarchy, but then that kind of fell by the wayside. They realised they didn't really want to do the whole saluting and the things. But we do have a bit of that in our show, just as a nod to the idea of an army.
Do they get credited even today? Like, is there anything like?
For a long time, they didn't. I think I have a feeling that recently, like in the last few years, they did march in one of the in the parades and things. But obviously, they're getting older each year as well. But some of the research was so lovely. We found this in the state library. There was a. Basically, these two women met while they were on the Land Army, and they fell in love, and they didn't want to go back to their normal lives, and they ended up buying a farm together and then just stayed there and had sort of legendary parties, and their friends from the city would come up and things. So it really did momentously change some people's lives forever, and so that's the kind of, that's the sort of feel we wanted for the show, was to, you know, obviously the men will come back, that is history. And in fact, when they did come back, the 50s were an incredibly repressive time for women. It was almost like a swing against the freedom they had during the 40s. So, yeah, but we just wanted to, you know, so that it's not like we didn't create this perfect utopia that will exist forever, but the characters are forever changed by the experience, and you know they can't go back to how they were.
I did want to ask you, in your research, if you came across any life example that was really that stuck with you, that was inspiring to you, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, the women that had this farm were an inspiration for sure. We also learnt that because there was, women were being used as to fill in the jobs that men normally did, and children were being dragged into things too, and a lot of the telegram boys were children. And so that really struck us as well, that there's all these poor children delivering terrible you know, telegrams to, and watching adults fall apart and sob and just bicycling on to the next one. It just felt like such an extraordinary time. So I took this idea, and in the one of the characters is called Herbie, and he's a 12-year-old boy that runs the bank in the country town where they are, because the town would rather trust a 12-year-old boy with the finances than a grown woman. Like, it was pushing it a little bit too far. So obviously that's something invented for the show for a bit of comedy, but there is a truth behind it in that, you know, everyone was just thrust into these positions of, yeah, big social change and trying to negotiate that.
Back to the writer's room, the way you created this, it's the war, it's hardship and so on, but you made it fun with consciously deciding that you're focusing really more than a twist, as you said before, on lesbian relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way you could have written it any differently. If you write something, it's going to be a lesbian-focused series.
It does turn out to be lesbians because the men are away, but it was a very queer room. So, and we do have some males in characters in the show that represent basically how the counter to toxic masculinity. So we have a conscientious objector called Robert, who is bisexual, and he, you know, he represents. So we do have men in the show representing how men can be. That's not the cis white heteronormative patriarchal structure that we've all grown up with. And in the writers' room, all of the writers that were there, they're all young queer people, and they just are funny. We all are funny, and we realise we all, I think it's very common for queer people to use humour to cope with the kind of the bullshit that we often put up with, and to have that sense of pride is maintained by turning something into an anecdote to amuse your friends rather than, you know, and that's not to say that traumatic things don't happen in this show, because they do in the world, and that's an important part. You can't make a show that's set in the war without having death present in this world. But, you know, I know personally I use humour as a way to process things and to be able to tell that story, and a lot of the writers did the same, and so we did a lot of laughing about things and events and experiences as a way of processing the underlying trauma of some of those experiences. And so our characters in this show do the same thing. They're witty, smart, intelligent people who are trying to make sense of the world they're in. And one of the tools, probably the most used tool in their toolbox, is humour, is poking fun at the dominant culture and finding ways of delicious ways of kind of rebelling against it, which can be so, so, so tiny, but mean so much to really big ways of rebelling. And so we found ways of, all the characters have different ways of pushing back against the little box that they've been shoved into. And we, as all of the writers in the room, had different ways of coping with that too. So we just basically put all of those experiences into the work, and out of that sprang these really authentic characters that had a really authentic voice, and all of the stories felt, they are true, basically, they come from a real place.
Where was it filmed?
We filmed in Sydney, some of the locations were in Sydney, but the majority of the shoot was out on Wurundjeri country near Orange, and around, so Millthorpe features a lot, Karkor. And the main farm is a beautiful old period home called Ammerdown, which is, yeah, just outside of Orange.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's great also to see that SBS has really embraced that show and supported you. So
yeah.
Times are changing. So yeah.
Yes, we couldn't have done it without SBS, obviously. And I think I feel just incredibly fortunate that I've been in the industry long enough to, I mean, when I first started out, the gatekeepers who decided what shows were told were all of the network heads were, you know, white, straight men, essentially. So they were the gatekeepers, really. And so that has, just in the last few years, has undergone a change. And, you know, I'm definitely a beneficiary of that. But also Australian television will be a beneficiary of it. It just means different voices and different experiences are going to be, will be more and more on screen. So yeah, it's a really exciting time.
So the first episodes or double episode will be screened on Wednesday, 8:30 on SBS On Demand.
Yep.
You must be nervous.
Look, yes, I'm quite an anxious person anyways, but I've been trying to kind of, you know, put a positive reframe on that anxiety as excitement, because I'm also excited. I've been to a couple of screenings now with other people watching it that weren't so enmeshed in the show as I have been, and their reactions have been positive. So I don't know, I think it'll definitely, it's very different to what you normally would see on TV. And so I think sometimes people may not understand that, and that may work against it, but also there's something really exciting about that. Like, to actually, because whenever we were plotting something, we were like, have we ever seen this moment before? And if someone went, oh, actually, yes, in this film, we go, okay, and we throw it out and pick another one. So we deliberately push the story in surprising, strange ways, because as an audience member, I love it when I'm watching something and I go, oh, I did not see that coming. It's so exciting. So it was really good. We just thought, oh, well, let's just try and do differently while the men are away. Basically, that same ethos was behind the scenes as well, in the writing room from the get-go, and also the way the heads of department that we hired, our hiring process, the way we did it was as important as what we ended up doing in the end.
With the costumes throughout that were used, it's very 40s, it's very,
yes,
like, it's very much in that time. That whole feel of the film,
yeah,
is...
Nina Edwards was our costume designer.
Yeah, brilliant.
She did an incredible job.
Mm. Yep. I could just straight away also see this could be a play.
It's funny you say theatre show, because a lot of the cast for the characters come from a music theatre background. Mm. And so they have this... So they seem fresh. If you're not a musical theatre goer, you'll be looking at them going, where did you find these people from? And they were all incredibly talented at the area as musical theatres. And so they had this kind of, as musical theatre does sometimes, it's a slightly heightened air to it, which is present on screen as well in this. It exists. I hope the show's kind of timeless. It exists sort of. It's got quite modern concepts in it, even though the way they speak is still from the 40s. That's one of the only rules that we had, was that they couldn't use words that weren't contemporary for the 40s.
I can't wait to see it on Wednesday, next
Great.
Wednesday.
Yes.
Double episode at 8:30 on SBS On Demand.
Yeah. I think all 8 episodes will be available from that night on demand as well, if you want to binge it over the long weekend. But if you're just like doing things week by week, it'll be every Wednesday night, 2 episodes each week, rolling out from the 27th.
Great. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your thoughts on Wild Domain Our Way. And congratulations
thank
on it,
Kim. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or Facebook using the tag @lotlmedia, or head over to our website, lotl.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.